哎呀，你，我想说吧，都那你就是现在一千年级的从南京到那边去上学了。Okay, so maybe we start off with a question. So is there any one of you who would like to clarify something, anything?
Hello. Yeah. Kevin Bucci.I have a question regarding these half Aegis. So, basically, the half Aegis, they assert that when the mortal of the butterfly, right, actually, the individual color actually casts an aspect, right? So, actually, for my only school, I was thinking when, the karma ripen for consciousness to apprehend, the color.So it actually, you ripen as the color, which is the object, and also the subject. These two, the object and subject, actually is simultaneous, right? So if that's the case, then since the individual color casts an aspect, how do you end up still being a consciousness that apprehends the mortal rather than the individual color?
Your split Aegis position is according to the root text or according to what was mentioned in class?
Okay, I mean, to me, I think it doesn't matter because the scholar doesn't agree on that. But so, it's based on, my question is more on the perception portion, right? How can it be possible that, multiple objects actually, are cast over to a consciousness?And yet, there's only, it's like one consciousness apprehending the individual object. Because for my only school, they state that, every time the object is cast, at the same time, simultaneously, there's actually a subjective aspect, right? Yeah. So I was thinking then there should be a multiple subjective aspect rather than only one subjective aspect.
大卡桑第二次高考的多点把他生中的出出去了卡桑他预计我呢那么多么点把谁做的多点的那么些习惯预计我呢就那么么点把谁那么没得把他那么几点把谁对吧他的预计我点把谁的他多点的高点那么些送的아나서니만공마쳐서왔어니만손이다녀봤어남샤디더디베나라육구야응응나유지군이나봐떼봤어샤당디바고치는키를봤어더디베로고시고센트로나유지군나봐떼봤어시기아이메야이따봐응
So in the Sutra school they assert that consciousnesses are aspected, right? SoThere is also the discussion about these aspects, objective and subjective aspects, according to these three, you know. So there is the discussion of also the equal number of apprehenders and apprehenders. And there's also the split against position. There's also the non-pluralist in the sutra school. Yeah, it's just that in the sutra school, they assert external objects. As such, the object from its own side casts an aspect of itself to the consciousness perceiving it. Yeah. So, okay? But because they assert external objects, so the casting of the aspects comes from the side of the object, yeah. Of course, but in the mind-only school, although such language is used, you know, I mean, it depends on how you translate, whether the aspect is delivered or cast, you know. But the question is whether this casting of the aspect is coming from the side of the object or not. So in the sutra school, because in the sutra school, because they assert external objects, yeah. So they assert that the objects from their own side cast an aspect of themselves to the consciousness apprehending it, yeah. But in the mind only school, this aspect that is cast, the aspect of the object that is cast, is not from the side of the object in that sense, but it is due to a ripening of a particular karmic seed or propensity, isn't it? Although the language is the same, the aspect is cast or delivered, right? But the meaning is different, yeah.
So my question will be equally applicable to the sutra school, right? Because my question is more of, you know, how could it be possible that, you know, multiple object is actually cast, you know? So when the consciousness apprehending, right, you know, it's supposed to be generated, you know, every time an object is cast, appear. Then how do you end up that multiple object appear and then you still end up in the one consciousness, apprehending the overall motor rather than individual color?
No, this is of the three positions, which position is this?
In the root text is the half yogis, but when Kem Rinpoche explained about the other
commentary, it's a non-pluralist,
it's actually the non-pluralist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
So, so according to, I mean, this one particular way of explaining the non-pluralist position, one consciousness is generated into many aspects, yeah. One consciousness is generated in many aspects, yeah. So if we use the eye consciousness apprehending blue as an example, the eye consciousness apprehending blue is just one consciousness, isn't it? But it is not just the blue that is appearing to the eye consciousness, isn't it? Everything that is part of the collection of blue, including the impermanence of blue, the blue being a product, blue being impermanent, blue being a functioning thing, whatever, you know, there's so many isolates, yeah. They all appear to the eye consciousness apprehending blue, yeah. So, although everything within the collection of blue appears to the eye consciousness apprehending blue, but the eye consciousness apprehending blue is only generated in aspect of blue. It's not generated into the aspect of blue's impermanence, blue being a product, blue, you know, blah blah blah, you know. right?
So if we use back this example that you were saying, right?
And then according to the mind only school.
Ice consciousness apprehending grew. So if based on the school that says the word equal object and subject, right, then there will be multiple subject apprehending the different aspect of the blue, right? If you were saying that
there were two positions, either generated simultaneously or serially.
Okay, thank you.
Jicha Renjima.
Hello, Ken Rinpoche. I have a question with regards to external objects and gross objects. The mind only school asserts that there are no external objects, but mind true expectations, mind only school, or mind only true expectations assert gross objects as not polluted by the latent ignorances of the mind. And the false expectations, the mind-only false expectations, do not exert gross objects. I'm not sure whether I'm getting it right. So I need to know, one, the difference between external object and gross object. Because we know external object for the mind-only school does not exist. But does the gross object for mind-only school exist? Does it exist for both true expectation and false expectation? And then finally, is it better to be a true expectation or a false expectation? I mean, does the word true and false have anything to do with right view?
Good to be both.
Okay, that's it.
Good to be both. Tā tērē kāraṁ tā kāzaṁ nāpa tē tā chīrū tūnu tūpa mē sēdī tā tāmbō kāzaṁ māsīrē tā tō tēpi chīdēn tē sūtī rā tā kua chāpāshī tā tō tēpi chīdēn tē sēdī tā kīlā kua chāpāshī rē tā chīdēn rā tā tō tēpi chīdēn tē sēdī tā tū tēn chāmē shā tē sābē nāpa tū chē tā tā shēpa jēshī tē tēn shēpa jēgī yā rēs chāzaṁ tā sūlā sōpa
In order to understand the mind only school's assertion that there are no external objects, in the first place, we have to understand what an external object is. And for that, we first have to look at the tenet below the mind only school. The Sutra school, they assert external objects, isn't it? And then what is their explanation of external object, right? Isn't it? So according to the Sutra school, they assert directionally partless particles, isn't it? Okay, remember that? And it is the amalgamation or the coming together of many of these directionally partless particles, then you have a gross form, a gross object, yeah, isn't it? And then this gross object can then act as an objective condition for the production of a consciousness apprehending it. Bole? So therefore, according to the Sutra school, there is a cause and effect relationship. In the case of eye consciousness apprehending vase, the vase must exist prior to the eye consciousness apprehending it. A vase acts as the objective condition for the generation or the production of an eye consciousness apprehending vase, isn't it? So there is a former and latter. The former will be the vase, the latter will be the eye consciousness apprehending it. Yeah. So they are not simultaneous. Yeah.
독신이 다 딘데게다 도데베샤 치든 두당 딘데지 아니 삼자도 야마레스 다탄다 다트든 참에서게 아니 럭바시 디미겐신 샤바 두당 딘데 요마레스 된다 배나 분바즈미 미시 여여할 때 분바 여여래 분바즈미 미시 여여레스 이나야 분바즈미 배나 분지 미시 게임도 분바 두비인 거야 분지 미시 두에 버스 세벳도 그쵸
So this is the explanation of what an external object is according to the spiritual school. Oh, it is this explanation of an external object that is not accepted by the mind-only school. So when the mind-only school, you know, when we say the mind-only schools do not assert external objects, essentially we are saying that they do not accept this explanation of the sutra school. Isn't it? So, but does this mean that that the mind-only school do not assert a vase? They do assert vase. Vases exist. Do they assert that I consciousness is apprehending vase? They also assert that I consciousness is apprehending vase exists. Both exist. The subject exists, the object exists. But both are produced simultaneously. Yeah, they are not produced, they are not sequential. Their arising is not sequential. They both are produced simultaneously. And they are both arise from one, the ripening of one. One imprint or one predisposition. Yeah. This one imprint or one predisposition produces both the objective aspect and the subjective aspect. So according to the mind-only school, they assert that both, in the example of a vase and an eye consciousness apprehending vase, both are produced simultaneously. From the ripening of one karmic predisposition or imprint. Yeah. So this one imprint, one predisposition produces both the objective aspect and the subjective aspect. Unlike the sutra school, isn't it? Yeah, sutra schools, these are sequential, yeah? But and also, the mind-only school do not assert directionally partless particles in the first place. So if they do not assert directionally partless particles in the first place, then you cannot have a gross form that is the result of the coming together of many directionally partless particles. Yeah. So if there isn't such a gross form, then there cannot be a valid cognizer apprehending such an external object in the first place.
Okay.
So this is how the mind-only school's reason for refuting external objects. Because according to the mind-only school, they say that in the first place, directionally partless particles do not exist. If directionally partless particles do not exist, as you claim to exist, the Sutra school, then if the directionally powerless particles do not exist in the first place, then how can you have gross form that is the result of the coming together of many of such directionally powerless particles? And if there isn't such a gross form, there cannot be any valid cognizer apprehending it, so therefore it doesn't exist in the first place. So this is the mind only school's refutation of external objects. So in short, when the mind only school says that there aren't any external objects, basically what they are saying is the external objects that is asserted by the Sutra school, oh, that does not exist.
Okay.
Basically. So then as for the mind only true aspectarians, they do assert gross form, gross object, okay. Whereas the mind only false aspectarians do not assert gross object, because to assert gross object is the same as asserting external object. That's the mind only false expectation. Yeah.
Oh, that's it. That's on the. That's all right. Okay. Then I'm going to go.
So, mind only true expectations a certain gross object, isn't it? Right, a gross object. So, what is a gross object? Right. So, whether it's a gross blue or gross vase, basically. When we think of blue, gross blue, what it means? It's just a very vivid blue appearing. Is it vivid? Very vivid. Oh, blue. So gross objects such as gross blue. So what is gross blue that very striking, clear, striking, vivid blue? So that is gross blue. What about gross vase? You know, what we see is a vase that is occupying a space there, occupying a space there, right? So. So the mind only true expectations assert gross objects, isn't it? So whether it's gross blue or gross vase, yeah. So they assert this appearance, and they assert that the appearance of gross blue as gross blue, vase as gross vase, and that is valid. That appearance is correct because it exists in the way it appears, yeah. For the true expectations, yeah.
소소스 나르차라 마초스 몸몸바 나르차라 마초스 아니 몸 라파라파 나르차라 마초스 라파야 티바 티바
근데 남좀바
남대바 남대페스
남대메지 라파라마우조
라파나 라파라파 나르차라 마초스 몸몸바 나르차라 마초스 소소 나르차라 마초라 남대베
수수라바
소소스 나르차라 마초 몸몸바 나르차라 마초 도카즈도
남든지 잡아셔도 되고 고대라 수준이 순진 무슨 나 소라고 나는 자라 말이 봐서 내가 마셔봤어 괜히라 아 괜히라 샤도 남든지 챙기라 아 수준이 여기 순진 무슨 나 소라고 나는 말이 봐서 내가 쇼봤어 남
So you remember, you know, in the discussion of the mind, only true experience. Yeah. The mind that is apprehending, let's say, blue as blue is not mistaken. Blue as gross blue is not mistaken, right? It's not mistaken with respect to those factors of appearance, yeah?
What about this one? That on that, the Quran to some of the Tamshu Jiro Shamba came into Tata Karsana Chata Nam Jumbe, and then a Susa Tamati, and the report to Bades, report to Nature to Tuku Yamanes, a report to Sudi Pavitakina Shire, that living in Mount Sudi. Today, she's a Kualen Jetas. 뭔부터 라포트 봐라. 소소 통화 라포트 봐라. 라포트 미치든 두고 말해서 그것도 시작한 거 같고.
So for the mind, only false expectations. They do not assert gross. Let's say they do not accept that. No, to assert gross blue, because to do that for the false expectations would mean asserting it's the same as saying there are external objects. Yeah. But in the case of the mind, only true expectations, they have no problem with asserting, let's say, with saying that the mind is not mistaken with respect to the factor of blue appearing as gross blue, or vast appearing as gross vast. That does not mean that there's an external blue, external vast. But what gross blue or gross vast is what I've said earlier, you know, when we talk about gross blue, is that just the vivid, you know, the very vivid blue appearing. Or when we talk about gross vast, you know, there is a vast, you know, that is like, you know, occupying a space, you know. It's like this.
Yeah. 아니 라퍼 투야 말했어. 라퍼 투나 시드는 두고 말했어. 남주배. 그러나 소소 정아 소라 소가 되다 라퍼 투야 말했어. 라퍼 투나 아니 시드는 두고 말했어.
So the mind only false expectations do not assert that there are gross form, gross sound, you know those things, the five objects, yeah. Because for them to assert that there is a gross form and so forth would be the same as asserting that there are external forms and so forth. So you remember the mind only false expectations. They assert that the mind is mistaken with respect to form appearing as form and form appearing as gross form. Yeah. Okay. So for the mind only false expectations with respect to the direct perceiver apprehending form, that direct perceiver is mistaken with respect to the factor of appearance of form appearing as form, is also mistaken with respect of to form appearing as gross form. That's for the false expectations, yeah. So the mind only false expectations assert that the direct perceiver apprehending form is mistaken with respect to form appearing as form, because there is the appearance of an external form. So the mind only false expectations, understanding of the true expectations assertion is that what the true expectations say about the mind about form appearing as form is form appearing as external form. So both the mind only true expectations and the mind only false expectations assert that the eye consciousness apprehending blue, for example, is a mistaken consciousness, yeah. Right? But they differ in as to how their consciousness is mistaken or what it is mistaken with respect to, yeah. So okay. For the mind only true expectations, the eye consciousness apprehending blue is not mistaken with respect to the factor of blue appearing as blue. But the mind only false expectations assert that the eye consciousness apprehending blue is mistaken with the factor of blue appearing as blue. And because of this difference, therefore, then there comes also the difference in asserting about whether the the blue appearing as gross blue is mistaken or not.
Okay?
Yeah, wearing blue also, yeah. So the this two kinds of emptiness that are described in the mind only school, is it? Right, the illustrations of the two selflessnesses, yeah. So, if you take an eye consciousness appearing blue, for example, although there's just one mind, one consciousness, but the way in which the many ways in which objects can appear to this consciousness.
Yeah.
So to the eye consciousness appearing blue, there is the appearance of external blue. There's also the appearance of blue as the natural base of engagement of blue. There's also the appearance of blue as the reference or the basis for applying the term blue. Then there's also the appearance of blue as the basis there's also the appearance of blue existing by way of its own character as the basis for applying the term blue. Oh, there are many different way, you know, different modes of or manner of appearances to this one consciousness. Yeah. Then there's also the appearance of blue as blue to this eye consciousness apprehending blue. So to this eye consciousness appearing blue, the many different appearances, isn't it? Appearance of blue as blue, appearance of external blue, appearance of blue as the natural base of engagement of blue, appearance of blue as the basis for applying the term blue, appearance of blue existing by way of its own character as the basis for applying the term blue. Oh, so many, isn't it? So there are all these different appearances to one consciousness apprehending, just one comprehension, one consciousness. Yeah. So all these appearances are not due to just one karmic predisposition or karmic latency, but it is the ripening of different karmic latencies. So to this eye consciousness appearing in blue, there are these different things appearing to it, yeah, isn't it? And of all the things that I just mentioned, the appearance of an external blue is an object of negation. It's what needs to be abandoned, what needs to be refuted. Then the appearance of blue existing by way of its own character as the basis for time applying the term blue, oh, that is also an object of negation, that which needs to be refuted, yeah. So, according to the Sutra school, blue, for example, exists by way of its own character. And blue also exists by way of its own character as the basis for applying the term blue. Okay? In the Mayoni school, blue exists by way of its own character. But blue does not exist by way of its own character as the basis for applying the term blue. Both the Sutra school and the Mayoni school assert that there is a blue that is the natural base of engagement of blue. Or there's a blue, both assert that there's a blue that is the basis for applying the term blue. But the Mayoni school say that the blue that is the basis for applying the term blue, that exists as an imputation by conceptual consciousness. It does not exist by way of its own character. The Sutra school, they assert that there is a blue that is the natural base of engagement of blue. Yeah? Or there's the blue that is the basis for applying the term blue, isn't it? Yeah. But blue that is the basis for applying the term blue exists as its own uncommon mode of subsistence. That means from its own side. The Sutra school say that blue existing, blue being the basis for applying the term blue, such a blue cannot exist as an imputation by conceptual thought. That's So the Sutra school assert that that blue exists by way of its own character, right? That blue also there's also a blue that exists by way of its own character as the basis for applying the term blue. This is different from the Mayoni school, right? So the Sutra school say that blue as the basis for applying the term blue has to exist by way of its own character and not something that is imputed by conceptual consciousness. So according to the Sutra school, if you say that blue does not exist by way of its own character as the basis for applying the term blue, then it would make blue similar to a rabbit's horn. Because there is a conception of rabbit's horn, although rabbit horns do not exist, yes, but there's a conception of rabbit's horn. And what is the basis? What is the base of engagement of that conception? It's rabbit's horn, isn't it? So therefore, because of this, the Sutra school assert that blue exists by way of its own character as the basis for applying the term blue, and that blue as the basis for applying the term blue, that cannot exist as something imputed by conceptual consciousness. So blue is blue from its own side, its own entity. You know, blue is blue, not blue being blue is not something that is merely imputed either by conception or by terms. But blue being blue, it is from its own side. It is the entity's nature of blue. So whether it's blue or it's form, the form being established as form, as in the nature of form, is from the side of the form itself. From the side of the entity of form. Form being form is not something that is merely, you know, an imputation by conceptual thought or by terms, you know. Because if form being form is something that is merely imputed by either terms or by thought, then that will make form no different from a rabbit's horn. You just impute. So for that, for this reason, therefore in the Sutra school, I have a feeling that I'm talking but they're not receiving, so it feels kind of weird. But anyway, the point is, we understand whether it's blue or form. You know, blue being blue or form being form is, you know, there's this blueness, there's this formness, this blue and this form. That is from the side of blue. Is the entity of blue to be like that? It is not something that is just fabricated or merely imputed by thought or by term. You see, therefore, for that reason, therefore, then you would think about blue being a basis for applying the term blue. Then the blue that is the basis for applying the term blue, that also has to exist by way of its own character. It cannot be merely imputed by thought or by term. Otherwise, that would make the blue that is the basis for applying the term blue similar to a rabbit's horn. So according to the mind only school, form exists from its own side, yeah. But although form exists from its own side, form as the basis for applying the term form does not exist by way of its own character. Okay, in the mind only school, form exists from its own side. Right? Form exists from its own side, okay? Form exists by way of its own character. That is form. But now we are talking about form as the basis for applying the term form. The form that is the basis for applying the term form exists or not? Exists, right? So how does it exist? It does not. The form as the basis for applying the term form, that does not exist by way of its own character. So in short, form does not exist by way of its own character as the basis for applying the term form. So according to my only school, form does not exist by way of its own character as the basis of applying the term form. Although there is a form, there is the basis for applying the term form. But form does not exist by way of its own character as the basis of applying the term form. So as we discussed in the last lesson, if form exists by way of its own character as the basis for applying the term form, then what problems would you have? Then in the case of a mind thinking about vase, you know, the concept of vase, you know, then what is the basis of engagement of the mind apprehending vase? It's a flat-based bulbous, what is it, a flat-based bulbous thing, isn't it? Right? then just by seeing the flat-based bubbles thing, then the idea of vast would come about, isn't it? But that's not the case, right? So the conceptual thought plays an important role here, isn't it? Because first you see a basis, then a concept applying a term or name to that basis arises, isn't it? Right? First you see a basis, then there's a conceptual thought, then trying to label or impute something, yeah? Label this, yeah? So in the case of a vase, we see a flat base bulbous thing. Then you know then conceptuality gets involved, yeah, and then decides to call to label it vase, isn't it? Label it vase, isn't it? So what is the basis of engagement of the term vase? It is the flat base bulbous thing, isn't it? Isn't it? But this so vase that this flat base bulbous thing being the basis of engagement of the term vase, this coming from the side of the conceptuality, isn't it? In relation to this conceptuality, imputing vase, in relation to this, then this flat-based bulbous thing becomes the basis of engagement for the term vase. It becomes the basis for applying the term vase, yeah. So that flat base bulbous thing being the basis for applying the term vase is dependent on the conceptual consciousness that the conceptual consciousness apprehending vase, yeah. Because if the flat-based bulbous thing exists by way of its own character as the basis for applying the term vase from its own side, then anybody who sees that flat-based bulbous thing without even thinking about the concept or labeling or label vase, you should be able to see vase there and then. So yes, the flat-based bulbous thing is the basis of engagement of the conception apprehending vase. Yes, the basis, the flat-based bulbous thing is the basis for applying the term vase. But this flat-based bulbous thing being the basis for applying the term vase does not exist as a basis from his own side by way of his own character. Because if this flat-based bulbous thing exists by way of his own character as the basis for applying the term vase, then that's by seeing that flat-based bulbous thing, you should be able to see vase. Because it's coming from his own side, right? So you know the expression vase. You know, vase in relation to this flat base bulbous thing. That expression vase has a factor of being imputed by conceptuality, isn't it?
That is, that
So let's take one specific, just one specific individual as an example. That one specific individual, there are people who regard that one individual as wise, knowledgeable, isn't it? Right? Wise, knowledgeable, yeah. So the term knowledgeable, oh, you're wise and knowledgeable is applied, isn't it? So that is the basis for, I mean, that person is the basis. When we say, oh, the person is wise or is knowledgeable, this wise, knowledgeable, this word, this expression, is referring to something, is engaging in something, is engaging in that person, isn't it, right? So that person is the basis for this word expression, wise. It is also the basis for the conception of a wise person, conception of a knowledgeable person, isn't it? But that very same person can be regarded as an idiot or a fool or stupid by other people, isn't it? So for those people, then that person is the basis for the expression stupid. It is also the basis for the conception of that person as stupid. Yeah. Tewo.
자자 다 딘데 다 쳬바 쳬바 그래서 답을 찾으신 거래 다 룸보스 답을 찾으신 것도 강서 지금 봐봐 다 답을 찾지 다 똑바 찾지 고 다디 쳬바 쓰고 다주비 죽실 강서 그런 용어를 주의한 거 됐어 잡았어요 다 가나시 룸보스 다주비 죽실 그런 용어를 룸보스에 주의한 거 됐어 다 똑바 찾았어
So that person is wise and knowledgeable to some, foolish to others. Both of these two different features, characteristics exist on one person. Yeah. So there's a factor of that person being wise, there's a factor also that person being stupid, yeah. But that factor of being wise or stupid does not exist from the side of that person. The person is not the person does not exist by way of his own character as the basis for applying the term stupid. The person does not exist by way of his own character as the natural base of engagement for the conception thinking that the person is stupid. Similarly, that person does not exist by way of his own character. It's very tiring to say this all the time. The person does not exist by way of his own character as the basis for applying the term knowledgeable. Neither does a person exist by way of his own character as the base of engagement of the conception, apprehending a wise person. If that person exists by way of his own character as the basis for applying the term stupid, And at the same time, the person also exists by way of his own character as the basis for applying the term wise. Then you end up with an absurd position that the person is both wise and stupid at the same time.
So
from this example, it's clear that one person does not exist by way of its own character as the basis for applying the term wise. Neither does the person exist by way of his own character as the basis for applying the term stupid. Hello? This is not the same as the consequence middle way school. You all think existing by way is not the same. Probably you all think you all getting it. Oh, it's the same. It's not the same. Talking about the same thing. The whole point, what you have to understand is if things and events exist by way of their own character as the basis for applying a specific term, then what's the problem? That's what you have to understand. For example, why form does not exist by way of its own character as the basis for applying the term form? Why form does not exist by way of its own character as the natural base of engagement of the term form or for the conception apprehending form? Why? That's the thing we have to get here. What's the problem, if we say that they exist by way of its own character as the natural base of engagement? Or So this understanding can have practical applications, for example, in trying to equalize the eight worldly dharmas. So we are either praise or criticize. But when the part of us that is being praised, you can just think that we do not exist by way of our own character, by way of his own, that we are not a basis existing by way of his own character as the basis for praise. Similarly, when we are criticized, this factor of being criticized, this part of being criticized, there's no If we think about how we are, we do not exist by way of our own character as the basis for those criticism, you know. So if we think a lot, we think about this in relation to, you know, how we react to praise and criticism. It is helpful, yeah. So because we understand that you know that we as one person do not exist by way of his own character as the basis for the praise. So that means that praise is merely imputed, you see. So when we are praised, then there's no need to get super excited or, you know, carried away. But on the other hand, similarly, when we are criticized, so, you know, this criticism is merely imputed by conceptual thought precisely because we as the person do not exist by way of his own character as the natural base of the engagement of those criticisms or those hurtful words. No? So in the case of let's say, you know, a person receiving praise, let's say we ourselves we receive praise. So according to the Mind Only School, yes, you know, the person that's receiving the praise is truly established. That the person giving praise is also truly established. However, that praise, the part about being praised, that praise, the reason, that is merely imputed. So in the case of Khenpo Rinpoche, he exists, isn't it? So then, I mean, he's known as Geshe Chuni, right? So, I mean, he is the basis of designation of the term Geshe Chuni, isn't it? Then there is a person who designates the term Geshe Chuni, isn't it? So the designator, the person who designates the term Geshe Chuni is truly established. Geshe Chuni as the basis for, you know, him being, he exists, yeah, he's truly established, right? But the name that is imputed, Geshe Chuni, oh, that is merely imputed, right? So, but the fact of him being Geshe Chuni does not exist from his own side. So there is the basis of designation, yeah, you know, him, the being, right? And then what is imputed is the title, yeah, Geshe Chuni, isn't it? So him, he is the basis of designation, and the thing that is imputed is Geshe Chuni. So this term Geshe Chuni does not exist from the side of the basis of designation. Because if this term, if Geshe Chuni, this phenomenon exists, or this term exists from the side of the basis of designation, then whoever sees And whoever comes in should be able to see in Geshe Chuni, isn't it?
Oh, that Geshe Chuni is here. That means that Dakshi Dishine Tawares. Tawares, you mean that the church of God. Here, that Dota Sanda. Dakshi Koramane, Tubashimane, Tawashi, Jukshiru, Tawashi, Dutch with Jukshiru.
So the factor of him being Geshe Chuni is merely imputed. The factor of him being Geshe Chuni does not exist from the side or the basis of the explanation. Similarly, he is also a monk. But he does not exist by way of his own character as the basis for applying the term monk. Yeah? Isn't it? So him, I mean he, the self, him, person, this is the basis of the explanation for Geshe Chuni, for monk, what else, you know, man, you know. So, but the factor of him being Geshe Chuni, the factor of Geshe Chuni, the factor of monk, is merely imputed, yeah. It does not exist from the side of the basis of vaccination. What is the basis of vaccination? Him. His I, you know. The self, the person, right?
You kidding? No. So there's maybe one story. I was walking in the botanic garden one day. So after that, I came out. So I was waiting at the gate for somebody to pick up me. So then, there's one couple from, I think tourists came from, I don't know, some other country. I was foreigner. So I was waiting there at the gate. Then two of them came to me, you know, then. They asked me, are you walking here? You know? So they asked me, so maybe this time. Custom walking at the botanic garden. He don't know this is the custom of the monk. No? then I said no. Then he asked me a question. I think waiting for the bus, you know, there's tourist bus. Sometimes they drop them, they pick up that place. Yeah? So he's waiting for that. He said, then after he asked me whether the bus will come here or not. Then I said, I think so, you know. Maybe. I said, only this is the place, you know, they might come this place, I said. So then I just shocked myself, you know. So this shows, yeah, so it doesn't exist from one side. How? Because, Tawasibi, Jukshiru, Mm. rang chengi ma du de to pe ta sam tu ba de rang chengi ma du se ta to pe ta ta ma yin ba ko la ma ne chue xiao de ba ta rang chengi ma se ke si ti de sam sam de o te sa ta ti ni wo do ta ti de ta ko ka se na ya ko de ko tosine tatun da nga dakshi chese tawa shechu be chashido ba tawa shechu be minda be chashido e to to da san chashi ko dakshi khonang mo ne tawa se de chume ma shi
so independence on the basis of vaccination him then he is known as monk he is known as gishini so the factor of gishini or the factor of monk that does not exist from the side of the basis of vaccination. So the factor of gishishuni, the factor of monk, those are merely imputed by conceptual consciousness or merely imputed by thought. Simple. Thought. So the anyway, the whole point, you know, basically at the end of the day, what you have to understand is why, as using form example, why form does not exist by way of its own character as the basis for applying the term form, for example. Main thing is, yeah, when this data. Everything has a name. It's known as something, isn't it? Right. So things are established, come into being by being labeled something, isn't it? Right. So every phenomena has a name, isn't it? It's called something, isn't it? So the investigation now is as to whether this name, how does it exist? Is it existing from the side of the object? As something uncommon, peculiar to the object? Or there's some other way of existing? Okay. So everything has a name, isn't it? It's called something, you know. It comes into being by being called something, isn't it? It has a name, isn't it? So that now we are trying to now we are looking at the name, you know. The name of any particular object, you know, that how does the name exist? Is it established from the side of the object itself? You know, there's something being uncommon, peculiar to the object, or there's some other way of existing. So according to the mind only school, an object is called such as a name does not come from the side of the object, but it comes from the side of thought. It comes from the side of terminology. So the mind only school is trying to show us, you know, of the overriding or the that basically the thought and terms are more powerful in this sense. Yeah, they are responsible, you know, for the name. The name is not coming from the side of the object, but rather it is the thought and the terms that we impute, you know, that accounts for the name. So whatever object it is, those objects in question, was object 1, 2, 3 or 4, these objects are respectively the basis of designation for the label object 1, object 2, object 3, object 4. There are these four things, four or five things. They are the basis of designation, right? And then what is imputed? It is object 1, object 2, object 3, object 4, okay? So object 1 is referring to something, isn't it? When we say object 1. When we say object 2, it's also referring to something. It's engaging in something. The term is engaging in something, is referring to something, isn't it, right? So the exercise is, you know, what we're trying to do here is to discover how does these terms, you know, engage their objects. So the basis of the term object one, the basis of the term object two. Now they say, I'm going to use the example object 1, 2, 3, and 4. So the basis of the term object one, this coming exists from the side of the basis of designation or not? So according to the Mayoni school, the object that has the name object one, that object one does not exist by way of its own character as the basis for applying the term object one. Object one that is the basis for applying the term object one does not exist by way of its own character from the side of the object, the basis of the designation. Because if it does, then there will be a lot of logical inconsistencies. A lot of faults, yeah. Logical fallacies.
Are you getting? Asking question? Okay, come.
So in short, according to the Mayoni school, whatever phenomena in question, they do not exist by way of their own character as the basis for applying applying the name that is given to it.
Mm-hmm. 아주 더 삼을 땅을 봐라. 배는 미쳤다고라. 배는 언제 미쳤다고 써도 배는 또 뒤와서 미치신 거 봐. 봐. 또 뒤와서 미쳤디라. 다 본반 난도 봐라. 봐봐. 다 또 뒤와디 본바시베 타니지 딱신이 받이 남겨도 봐. 먼저 나이시. 또 뒤와 난도 봐라. 또 뒤와디 본바시베 타니지 죽신이 받 남겨도 먼저. 봐봐. 죽신이 받 나이시.
So, although things do not exist in such a way, but things appear to exist in such a way. You know? Let's imagine you see a flat base bulbous thing. Your eye consciousness perceives a flat base bulbous thing. Yeah? So the flat base bulbous thing appears as a vase, isn't it? To you, right? And that flat base bulbous thing appears from its own side as the thing that the term vase is referring to. So you see a flat base bulbous thing. The flat base bulbous thing appears to you as a vase. It appears to you also as the basis of or the basis of engagement of the term vas. Is the flat base bulbous thing the thing that is referred to by the term vas? It is, right? I mean, I'm just using simple English, but you know. You see a flat base bulbous thing. That flat base bulbous thing appears to you as a vase still. It appears to you as the thing that is that the term vase is getting at. You know, when you think of vase is referring to something, isn't it? What you see is that flat base bulbous thing appearing to you as the thing that the term vase is getting at, right? But yes, vase, the flat base bulbous thing is the basis of engagement of the term vase. It is the basis of applying the term vase, yes. But how does the flat base bulbous thing appear to you? That flat base bulbous thing appear from his own side, by way of his own character, as the thing that the term vase is referring to. Yes, when you look at the flat base bulbous thing, what appears to you is that there is a flat base bulbous thing existing by way of its own character as the thing that is referred to by the term vase. That is what appears to us. That flat base bulbous thing is naturally, by way of his own character, this, from his own side, this is the thing that the term vase is referring to. Do we have that appearance? Oh, that is what the Mayoni school refutes. That appearance is mistaken.
근데 죽시디 아니 민데 샤파라 맞다 봐. 코로나 처벌이나. 뭐 진짜 나오나 싶지 요 말했다.
So there's the appearance of the fat based bulbous thing appearing from his own side without being merely imputed by thought or terms as the thing that is referred to by the term vas. Oh, that does not exist.
도대베 딘데 남베 유아레스 나왔다도 유아레스 다 나왔다도 유아레스 고치를 틈도 두바레 딘데 남베 유아레 고랑원에 두바남 남베 유아레 더 나와나시 유아레 치를 틈도 두바레 아니 소진 저만 제타들에 냠바 두바레스 어떻습 유아레
So the Maoni school refutes this appearance. This does not exist in the way it appears. The Sudra school on the other hand, accepts that is valid because just as the flat-based bulbous thing appears to exist by way of its own character as the thing that is referred to by the term vas, just as it appears, this is how it exists according to the Sutra school. So they accept that is valid and they also assert external object, and therefore for them, the Sutra school do not assert the non-existence of object and subject as different substances. Yeah. So, I think we will not talk any more about whatever and whatever being the natural base of engagement of whatever. You get headache, I get headache. So.
Okay. Another 10 minutes. Your question asked now. Yeah. Ask us 10 minutes.
Shiros.
Firstly, can I confirm that to the sense consciousness apprehending blue, the blue existing as the referral name of blue as a natural base of applying the name blue as a natural base of engagement also appears to the sense consciousness apparently blue. So the thing now is that because
stopper.
When we talk about this object existing as the natural base of applying the name and base of engagement, my question now is that to this sense consciousness, these appearances are established by way of his own character to the sense consciousness.
What is your question?
To the sense consciousness that blue is appearing to as the referent name of blue, natural base of flying name blue, and natural base of engagement blue, blue exists by way of his own character. For this referent name, yeah? These referral name exists by way of its own character. Natural base of applying the name exists by way of its own character. Natural base of engagement of blue exists by way of its own character to the sense consciousness.
Then
to the conceptual consciousness, it does not exist by way of its own character. Blue existing.
You are saying they appear to exist by way of its own character, or saying they are existing? For the first part, the sense consciousness. So, like what was mentioned earlier, to the eye consciousness apprehending blue, many things appear. Yeah, appearance of blue as blue, appearance of external blue, appearance of blue as the basis for applying the term blue. There's also the appearance of blue existing by way of its own character as the basis for applying blue. So all these appear to the eye consciousness apprehending blue.
But not everything exists in the way it appears, right? Like external blue doesn't exist in the way it appears.
My question is what?
So the question now is that this...
Because
sense consciousness is really mistaken, right? Necessarily mistaken. So therefore, it is clear that it doesn't mean that whatever appears to it necessarily exists, yeah. So the appearance of let's say blue, the appearance of blue existing by way of its own character, you must get what exactly we're talking about. We're not talking about blue. We are talking about the blue, so there's the appearance of blue as the appearance of blue existing by way of its own character as the basis for applying the term blue. That, in the first place, this blue existing by way of its own character as the basis for applying the term blue is an imputational nature. And of the, and it's not just an imputational nature, it's an imputational nature which is non-existent. Yeah.
So, but such an imputation nature also applies to a sense consciousness.
So it appears, but of course does not exist.
So now, can I confirm that these two, the referrer name of the object and the natural base of applying the name of object refers to the same thing? In terms of translation, do they refer to the same thing or is it different?
Yeah, the basis of the engagement of a term or the basis for the applying term or the basis of engagement of a conception. I mean, these two are two different phrases, but they mean the same thing.
So, referrer name, base of applying the name, and base of engagement, they all refer to the same thing then? All three? Okay. So, the final question is that to the conceptual consciousness apprehending blue, the actual object blue. Yeah, appears to it, but the conceptual consciousness is only able to, shall I say, realize, I'm not sure what I should use, realize the meaning generality of blue. The in mental image of blue.
No, what appears there?
No.
What it realizes.
What it realizes.
Realizes blue, yeah.
Okay, so then the appearing object is only the mental image of blue then.
Yeah.
So for the conceptual consciousness, it's not able to distinguish between the mental image of blue and what it realizes,
yes.
Blue. Therefore, as the sutra school, this is mistaken. But for the mind-only school, it is more subtle in the sense that they do not realize, or rather the conceptual consciousness does not realize that it is merely imputed by mind. It may be imputed by thought. That's why it is object to be refuted.
It's not realizing blue, but it's not realizing blue and blue as the basis of applying term blue. These two are not the same.
One is an actual object, one is a mental image of the object. Can we say that?
Hmm?
One is the actual object, one is the meaning generality of the object.
Eye consciousness or mental?
No, conceptual consciousness.
Yes.
So So for a conceptual consciousness apprehending blue, what is it that blue does not realize, or what do you think?
What is the conceptual consciousness not realize?
Yeah, the conceptual consciousness apprehending blue, what does it not realize?
It does not realize that it is merely imputing the, what do you call that, merely imputing the object, the term blue, onto the base. So I'm trying to say there are three things down here for object of negation that appears to a conceptual consciousness. The actual object blue, the mental image of blue, and blue being the mental image of blue being established by way of its own character. Because it's if it is not, it's supposed to be not established by way of its own character. But it's mistaken because it...
No. Blue exists by way of
I'm not saying blue, I'm still talking about mental image of blue not being established by way of its own character. The blue, actual object blue, is established by way of its own character.
Yes.
Yeah. But the mental image of blue is not established by way of its own character.
Yes.
But it doesn't realize that. So that is the object to be. The thing to refute is that to realize that is the mental image of blue is not established by way of its own character.
You know, that whole thing about, this discussion about, an object being the basis of applying a particular term, is this not just for proving or establishing that the mental image is imputed by mind, imputed by thought? So what we are trying to establish in the case of blue or form, let's say, what we are trying to establish is that blue does not exist by way of its own character as the basis for applying the term form, and blue does not exist by way of its own character as the basis of engagement of the term form. That's what we are trying to establish.
So nothing to do with the mental image being involved.
Is the mental image of vase the basis of engagement of the term vase?
For conceptual consciousness.
No. The question is the mental image of vase the basis of engagement of the term vase? So when you're realizing your conceptual consciousness is realizing vase, yeah?
So we're referring to conceptual consciousness, right?
Yeah, so it doesn't matter.
Huh?
But the question is, so the flat-based bulbous thing is the basis of engagement, not the mental image of a flat-based bulbous thing, right? Well, but also something to think about.
Yeah, because this is forming the mental image and the base, for conceptual consciousness.
So, because the mental image of the vase cannot be the basis for engagement of the term vase, because whatever is the basis of engagement of the term vase is vase. Is vase, necessarily vase, yeah. There's something there from his own side. Yeah.
Mm.
Okay lah. I really can age a lot now, tell you. Yes. It's about 2 hours now, tell you. They say that the United Nations interpreters are among the top two most stressful jobs in the world. The other one is air traffic controller. I don't know true now. Anyway. So we just finished the usual dedication prayers again.